exalted Father. That was a beautiful name. It invokes in your mind this incredibly positive image about a dad. And yet the man who had that name at 99 years of age still had no children. Do you think that would be painful? That your name continually reminded you that you were not what it said you were. I think of that sometimes. There's a pain that he must have felt. So one day, in his 99th year, God changed his name. No longer will you be called Exalted Father. We're going to call you Abraham, the father of many nations. And he was still barren and without children. You imagine how awkward that would be? You made friends with some people in the neighborhood and they come over and say, hey, Abraham, how you doing? He says, oh, no, my name's changed. It's Abraham. Oh, great. Where's the kids? Oh, no, we don't have any. Whew. Same year, his wife's name was changed. Sarai, which was the name my princess, was changed to Sarah, which means a princess or the princess, a princess of nations. And yet she too, no children, barren. Can you imagine the way, particularly in that culture, she must have felt the embarrassment of not giving to her husband a son after all those years and waiting with that promise for so long? Why would God humiliate them then with changing their name? You ever have thoughts like that about God? Why would God do something that mean or that painful or that, and we think bad of God? My friends, God is always good, right? And when he does something, he wants you to know the truth. And God seeks to teach us the truth that he might build us up in the faith. God wants you and I to trust him before we see him move. Before you see what you think you're supposed to see. Abraham had been trusting God's promise that he was going to be a father. And yet he wasn't. But when your faith is stretched, don't give up. Look up and grow up into the truth that God has for you. God has a plan for us. And it is his intention that you and I, as we struggle to live as people of faith, that we base our hope and faith on truth. Because sometimes I find Christians, and as you talk to them, I can tell they're doing what I call pumping it up. They're trying to talk themselves into believing a feeling or believing a thought. That's not God's plan for you. God's plan for you is to trust the truth. And so today I want to talk to us about trusting truth. Because faith is not a feeling. It is a decision to trust the truth. Now, it says in Hebrews 11 that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, men of old gained approval. Friends, you and I will gain God's approval not by our performance, but by our trusting him. Our performance gained us a name, didn't it? Sinner. You think about that name. What's that mean? Sin means to miss the mark. It means the one who misses the mark. Another word we might use for it in our culture would be failure. But it's interesting, that's not the way God addresses you in the Bible if your faith is in Christ. He calls you saint. He calls you one set apart to Him for glory. Believer, do you know who you are? And are you trusting truth? Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 4. I want us to take a look at this story, and we're going to take the briefest of glimpses of a look into Abraham and Sarah's life and just kind of the end of the story look and see how they were trusting truth. Because I think it will strengthen you for where you are this morning, in that spot where you're saying, will I ever have victory over this? Will I ever feel okay about this? Will I ever praise Him again? I'm here to tell you, when you trust the truth, you can walk, even with tears, into the joy of the Lord. Romans 4, beginning with 17. He says, a father of many nations I have made you. Remember, that was the promise. And then he says, in the presence of Him whom he believed, even God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist, in hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, and yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. What God had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was credited to him as righteousness. And not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions, who was raised up because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand and exult in the glory of God. Friends, life is a continual test, is it not? And the test is will you trust the truth? He says, in hope against hope, he believed. He believed. He didn't become weak in faith. He believed. Trusting is believing what God declares, even when it contradicts your perception of reality. I think sometimes we try to think it through and say, oh, I can see how this will work out. You know what I'm talking about? We try to figure God out and sort it out so we understand how He's going to come through for us. Abraham was being greatly tested, years that he had waited for this child. But faith is that idea of trusting who he is and who he says you are. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's the rewarder of those who seek him. He says, I want you to believe that I'm a God who rewards and that you are my child who will be rewarded. And some of you are at a spot saying, this doesn't feel very rewarding. May I remind you, this is not the place of full reward. That day's coming. You're not home yet. But in this story of Abraham, it says he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations. He believed so that he would see God's promise produced in him. It was the believing that was going to provide the results. You see, how you view life determines the attitudes and the actions that you're going to choose for your life. It's the attitudes and actions that you're going to choose in your relationships. It's how you're viewing your life. Do you truly believe God? Even when, or even though, some of you are looking at situations and you're saying, scary. I don't know if, or what if. Do you believe God if, or do you believe God? You see, our sight processes our view of the world. And we look at the possibilities, and we look at the impossibilities, don't we? We look out to say, that could happen. It could be tough, but we could make, that's never going to happen. That person is never going to turn. They will never change. Look what it says here. Now, I want you to notice this, because sometimes I think people think of faith as this idea of just denying what is true in reality themselves. And that's not really what it is. It's believing God even in the midst of seeming contradictions. Guys, look what it says about Abraham. Now, this is pretty explicit, actually. He says, without becoming weak in faith, verse 19, he contemplated his own body. Now as good as dead. Now, his body was still alive. But he says he looked at it, and it, for what he wanted to do, be a father, he was dead. Alright? It says, and he looked at Sarah and the deadness of Sarah's womb. What's he talking about? She's already into menopause. He says, okay, you look at the two of us. We can't do what God said he was gonna do in our lives. We can't make that happen. See, that's not denying reality. That's looking at reality. He looked at the reality of his circumstance. And says, put it mildly, we have a problem. Some of you got those, right? We have a problem. So when I ask you to trust God, I'm not asking you to deny that there's a problem. I'm asking you to look and see, is there someone bigger than your problem? And has he got a promise that you can trust him with that problem about? You see, faith is not a denial of reality. It is the inclusion of God in your life, in that barren reality, in that impossibility. Friends, growing faith, I believe you have to be truthful to yourself. Just don't limit your observations to self. Don't make that the whole thing. See, you limit your observations to yourself. You are going to be depressed. You look inside, you're going to be depressed with yourself. You look at your situation, you're going to be discouraged with that. But if you look at God, you can grow faith. All right? I love that verse in Psalms 27, 13 and 14. Are you familiar with that one? Read it with me. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. What's he say? He said, I would have despaired. I would have lost hope unless I had believed. It's in places of despair, in circumstances of great difficulty and pain and impossibility. He said, I would despair unless I believed I would see God come through. Do you believe God's coming through? Friends, our perceptions will look at the possibilities and the impossibilities, and it'll lead us to make conclusions. You know what I'm talking about? We'll reach a decision about what we see, and that creates problems. We'll have doubts. I'm not sure this is going to come about. Now, it's normal to have doubts. It's okay to have questions. Just take your questions to the truth. Truth is never afraid of questions. Right? But reach a conclusion not based on your feelings, not based on your sight, but based on the revelation of God's word. What does he say is true of the believer? What does he say he can do in the life of anyone who puts their trust in him? You know what Sarah said? Like I said, I'm going to get snippets of this story, okay? But in Genesis 16, she said, since God has prevented me from having children, what? Why don't you take Hagar? Now, the fact of the matter is we know God is the one who gives children. Now, that is clear all the way through the book. It is the gift of the Lord. And so part of it is she's got right, but what? It's her conclusion. Therefore, since God has prevented, what's her conclusion? God's not going to do it. Then let's do it another way. And she comes up with a flesh solution. She has an observation of reality. The truth is God had not yet given her children. But she came up with a flesh solution. And rather than say, God's going to do something miraculous, she said, let's do something normal. And the Hagar solution is one of the lousiest solutions that somebody has ever came up with. All right? I mean, you read that whole story. It's still going on, isn't it, over there? We still got the Hagar solution going on over there. And friends, I want you to remind yourself of that when you start coming up saying, okay, well, this is probably not going to work out, so I think I'll help God. Does he need help? Now, God needs obedience. That's what he asks for. He doesn't ask for help. He asks for obedience. He asks for faith. And so in that spot, she tries to help him out. But it's interesting. I don't understand. Sometimes Scripture doesn't explain details to us. But it says Abraham didn't doubt. Now, I don't know why he accepted his wife's suggestion. He should have been a wiser leader in his home at that point and says, nice idea, not God's plan. But he didn't lead in that spot. And he allowed them to walk into a terrible problem. But it says here in verse 20, it says, yet with respect to the promise of God, Abraham did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. When? When he was still barren. When he was still waiting for the promise. You can give glory to God even before you see it come about. And friends, I think sometimes we think the glory comes when the answer comes. No, the glory comes when you give him glory before you see the answer. When you praise him before you get what you want. When you say, you're good even though I don't see the goodness that I want to see. That's when you give him glory. Friends, are you disillusioned with God? Maybe it's because you've had an illusion that God needs to diss. You got an illusion of how God was going to come through, and you're saying, well, God didn't come through that way. Did God come through for Abraham and Sarah? Yes, he did. It didn't look like he was going to, and so they were disillusioned, and they came up with their own illusion of a solution, and it created a problem. Friends, we always got to walk God's way. But we got to see it. Because he was, in verse 21, it says, he was fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. You see, how we view God and his promises transforms our responses to life circumstances. See, God's word is truer than what you will ever feel. God's word is truer than anything you will ever experience. God's word is truer than any experience you will ever face. So trust the truth. That's what I'm here to tell you. Trust the truth. Faith will believe God for who he is. That he is both able, as it says here, and faithful. Able and faithful. What are you believing about God? Sarah had a view. God changed it with a promise. Lest you think I'm slandering Sarah, I want you to see the glorious promise of Hebrews 11. The revelation of Sarah's life, Hebrews 11:11, if you want to turn back with me there, it says, by faith, Sarah herself received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time. How? Since she considered him faithful who had promised. I'm here to tell you that somewhere between Hagar and Isaac, there was a transformation in her heart. And you can have failed, friends. You can have fallen into the flesh. You can have walked the way that you knew was wrong and you did it wrong, and yet you can still come back and experience victory and joy and peace and glory. You can come back. You can always come back to the Father. And she came back. And so she became a testimony of what God can do. And she considered him faithful. So here's the question, friends. How do you consider your God? Abraham said, God is able. Men, can you agree with Abraham? Will you say that with me? God is able. Do you agree with that? Say it as though you mean it. God is able. Some of you aren't with me yet. Men, God is able. You're looking at a situation, you don't know what the answer is, but you know there's a God, and what's the truth about the God that you know? That God is able. Ladies, you're facing some difficult situations. You're facing some challenging situations. Can you, with Sarah, affirm what is true, that God is not just able, that God is faithful? You see, he has the power to do something, but the amazing thing is God is faithful to deliver with the promise that he makes. Ladies, will you agree with me? Will you agree with Sarah? Will you affirm the truth of who he is? God is faithful. Let's say that together. God is faithful. I love that. Let's say that again. God is faithful. Is that the truth? That is the truth. You may not see it in your children's lives. You may not see it in your grandchildren's lives. You may not see it in your marriage. You may not see it in your workplace. But I'm here to tell you, what is the truth, ladies? God is faithful. Hang on to that. That's the truth. And when you hang on to the truth, God builds faith. That's where it comes from. It will change your perspective. There is a promise in the Word for every problem you will ever face. Every painful situation, there's a promise in the Word. If you can't find it, call the office. We can show you in the Word. There is an answer to any situation. I don't want you saying there isn't an answer. When you reach that point, you ask your small group leader for help. When you reach that point, you talk to your spouse, you talk to a friend. You say, will you help me get perspective in this situation? God wanted them to get perspective. And he gave them truth. That's why I encourage you to memorize the Word of God. That's why I memorize verses still to this day. Because I'm putting truth into my heart that I can hang on to and trust him with. When you view your circumstances with faith, it will change how you walk. You see, the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to transform the child of God. That's how he works. And we can lose perspective. It is not hard. We heard a testimony about that this morning during our worship time. Isn't that right? You know, when you are up to your hind end in alligators, it is hard to remember the first objective was to drain the swamp. Isn't that right? You can get distracted by these situations that come against you. And that's where you have to hang on to the promise. Remember what God said. If you're following along with your notes, I want you to turn your notes over. I want to show you a four-step process to get perspective. Now, I can't take you all the way through this morning, but I'll show you in a very brief form how you can do this. And you can do this over and over again. And I made extra copies there in the back for small group leaders. If you'd like to take your small group through it, it's a great faith-building experience where you change your perspective. You start off with saying, what's my circumstance? All right? My circumstance, what circumstance is disturbing my joy? And so you have to look at a situation. And I'll just use a simple one. It happened this last week. It was kind of funny. Somebody just said something. You know how that is? And all of a sudden that thought goes in and it produces a different thought in your mind. And somebody just happened to mention to me, did you see how low the offering was this last week? I'm like, man, the offerings have been great. I was like, what do you mean the offering was low? And I looked at the offering. It was like about $4,000 lower than usual. That was my circumstance, you know? And you go, oh, what's my feeling? See, that's the next thing you have to look at is, how do I feel about the circumstance that I'm in? And in that situation, all of a sudden, I felt a little worry. I felt disappointment, then I felt worry, then if you don't deal with that, it can move towards anxiety. What if some people are stopping giving? What if your mind can go right out into left field, can't it? My throat's going there. And so then, what do you have to do? You have to gain a perspective of your circumstance and your feelings from God's word and God's truth. What does God say about himself? And you might write this in. It's not in your notes. Myself, right next to that on the back page. Himself, myself, and how to handle circumstances like these. All right? What does he say about that? And for me, I had to just remember the truth that Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And I began to turn that back over to God, say, God, what is it that you want me to do? And that becomes what? Verse 4, that's your response. See, how can I specifically respond to the Lord in obedience to his word? What will I believe? That's the truth you need to agree with. And what will I do? That's the obedience I respond to the truth with. And so for me, I began to give him thanks. I began to give him thanks that in a year of one of the deepest recessions in the history of our country, this church has still been provided for. And that God has given us faithful people. And that God will always take care of us even if we have to live with less, right? And begin to praise him for that and say, what does it mean to seek him first? He's given me assignments as a shepherd. I need to do what I'm called to do and trust him to do what only he can do. And what happens? In that place, I then move into peace because I'm back with a biblical perspective. Do you see how quick that can go? So I want to encourage you, take a circumstance that you've got this afternoon. Don't wait. You'll forget this and lose your notes later on. Take one this afternoon and say, what is a circumstance that's disturbing my joy? And see if you can walk that through. Maybe do it with somebody else if you'd like, and it will build a perspective. But see, what happens when I believe? It changes things. According to Romans 15:13, would you read this with me? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you lacking in hope? The Holy Spirit wants to put hope into your life. How does he do that? He says it's in believing. And when I begin to believe, God puts joy and peace back into my life. And I like that. It's a lot better than the grumpies. You know? You agree with that? We have to get a perspective in that spot. But believing God's word releases the Holy Spirit who wrote the word into your life. It lets him do what he wants to do. So you need to keep looking at the promise and be careful. Sometimes I think we are asking God to do what he's already told us he's done. Oh, don't leave me. He's already promised he's never going to leave you. So thank him that he's with you. Sometimes we're praying, Lord, would you please give me strength? He's already promised to give you strength. We say, show me how I need to use the strength that you've given me. Sometimes we're pleading for what God has already promised. He has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, according to Ephesians 1:3. Every blessing. So what I need to be praying is, Lord, show me how to live in the light of the blessings that you've given me. But remember this, Abraham and Sarah tell us this. The promise will always be fulfilled. Always. However, there can be a wait that's very uncomfortable. See, sometimes people say, well, if I just believe it, then I've got it. Oh yeah, they had it, but they had to wait 25 more years. But when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, they had a baby called laughter. Because God keeps his promises. And it was written in this book for you and I. Did you see that here in verse 23? It was not only for his sake was it written that it was credited to him as righteousness, but for all sake also, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. It's written down that you and I, as we believe in Christ, would experience the same declaration. What? That you're acceptable to God, not based on your performance, but based on your trust in Jesus Christ's performance. Based on your acceptance of what he has done for you. Therefore, it says in chapter 5, verse 1, we're justified. How? By faith. Not by works. By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand and exult in the hope of the glory of God. Not only this, we exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That's the truth, friends. We walk, how? By faith, not by sight. True? Say it. We walk by faith, not by sight. Friends, what does sight say? I want to take you back to another point in history where God builds your faith on. There are things are not what you see. Things are what God said. Things are not what you see. What did God say about it? You see, the trial of Jesus Christ, when you look at the trial, you could see that Jesus was a condemned sinner. He was a criminal. But the promise of the truth said that Jesus is the sinless Son of God, our Savior. At the cross, you could clearly see that the prophet and the Savior had died, that his ministry was over. That's what sight could give you. But the promise of the truth said that the Savior of the world had paid for the sins of the world and God's work of salvation was finished. If you came to the tomb, you could clearly see that Jesus was dead. He was turning to dust. It was over. But the promise of God's truth said that tomb was Messiah's motel. Okay? And that the King is alive forevermore and giving life to all who believe in him. The truth is what God says, not what you see. Keep believing that. You are justified by faith. Where do you stand with Christ this morning? Do you have peace with God? You can have peace with God. Are you at war? Some people tell me, I'm not at war with God. I'm just not going that way. Well, when you rebel against the authority that exists over you, the creator of the universe, you are at war with him. You say, well, I haven't rebelled. Well, what was his command? In 1 John 3:23, look at this. This is his commandment. Read it with me. That we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. What did he command? That you believe on Jesus Christ. If you're choosing not to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're rebelling against his authority. That makes you, even just on that command alone, a sinner worthy of judgment. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you'll be saved. If you choose not, you live in disobedience, you live in rebellion against the King. That means you're at war. Would you like to have God's peace? God offers peace to all who believe in him. You can have peace with God. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. How do you get there? How do you end any war? You have to surrender. Isn't that right? And some of you are here, as a believer, you're at war with God about something he's told you to do. But some of you are here, and you're not a believer. You're listening to me speak, maybe in a tape today, and you're not trusting. I'm here to tell you. If you surrender yourself unconditionally to God, right now, where you are, you can come to terms with God. Come to terms of the surrender. Well, what are the terms? Unconditionally turn your life over to God. Those are the terms. You can't write your own terms. You have to accept his terms. If you agree with him, you'll say some simple things like this. If you mean this, you can tell him this very morning. I have sinned against you, God. I have broken your laws. I deserve judgment. I've been at war with you, wanting my way rather than your way. And today, I surrender my life to you. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died upon that cross for me. And he rose again from the dead. Please forgive me. I surrender. Become the Lord of my life. If you tell him that, I surrender, become the Lord of my life, he is more than eager to enter your life and change you forever. Friends, there is a hope that we can have in Christ. Through faith, you move from being a sinner to being a saint. You move from being a fallen creature to becoming a new creation. You move from being a piece of trash to being the temple of the living God, the ambassador of Christ himself. Trusting truth is believing and obeying what God declares, even when it contradicts your perception. I don't know where you're at today, but if you're someone wrestling with the barrenness of your ministry, the barrenness of your womb, the barrenness of your relationships, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ gives life. Truth that is trusted transforms. Will you trust him? See, because trusting truth pleases God. And get this, nothing else does. Nothing else. So whatever your situation is, you got two questions. Who is God? Who's he made me to be? I'm inviting you to do one thing. Trust truth. Let's do that this morning. Father, thank you that you have brought us to this place for your purpose this morning. And as we look at our lives and recognize the struggle and the disappointment and the failure, we want to turn it over to you and acknowledge that your promises are true, that you are able and faithful to do all that you promised. And so we look for you to do that in our hearts, in our lives today. Father, touch right now that we'd surrender. Whatever that situation is that we've been fighting with, Lord, right now, open our hearts to surrender. That we wouldn't have to be in control, that we'd trust your control in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for the life that you have given to us. Amen.